From Rochester, New York, and Cincinnati, Ohio, comes the most entertaining, informative, educational, eternally beguiling, continuously charismatic, and fantastically informative podcast to appear on this or any corner of the internet. Allow yourself to be seduced, enchanted, dazzled, and entranced by all small everything. Well, not everything. Small package.
Take care of the intro for this week.
Good.
Knocked out. Speaking of knocked out, dude. Host. Yeah. All right. You ready to do this?
Yeah. Let's do.
All right.
Hey, everybody.
Guys, it's time.
How's it going,
for
everybody?
Us, it's time for us time.
It's Corey Poindexter here.
And you know it's Bob Fegarty. It's your boy.
Oh, shit. What up? So, welcome back to Small Package.
It's Small Package time.
First off, just want to apologize to everybody that there was no Monday Night Ross this week.
No Monday Night Ross, y'all.
Gabe was tied up with his duties at his TV station.
Duties.
And I have been in New Jersey.
Working hard.
On a shoot.
Hardly working, am I right?
I just dabbed.
Some call it coughing into your elbow. Corey calls it dabbing while coughing.
Is that not what people are doing when they're dabbing? I am woefully out of the loop, kids. But I'm still lit. Isn't that what the kids are saying?
Oh my gosh. Can we please move on?
No, yeah. Well, I mean, I got nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I know. So you saw Raw.
So I've been in New Jersey working on this shoot, right? Because my day job is a sound guy. And you know, I've been out there working on this damn movie shoot. It's going well. It's going cool, but it does mean that I'm out of the loop when it comes to wrestling, dude. I caught most of Raw in chunks. I caught what I thought was like half of SmackDown. Turns out it was probably like 15, 20 minutes.
Probably not much of SmackDown.
And I'm behind on Cruiserweight Classic. I'm behind on WCPW. I'm behind on pretty much all wrestling this week. So this week, Bob, you're going to be the man in charge of the recaps. And, we came up with this idea. Raw, I don't know what happened on SmackDown at all, other than Dean's confrontation with Ziggler, which turned into a confrontation with Wyatt.
Bray.
And also that Eva Marie was injured, but fake injured, whatever. That's literally all I know. So Bob, when you recap SmackDown, I'm going to be surprised reacting to that, and Bob's going to lead the charge for all our recaps this week.
Yeah,
I know you're excited about that.
Right, because we get to fly through them.
I know that you're excited to recap things.
Uh-huh.
It's your favorite part of the show.
Uh-huh.
But Bob, I have to ask you real quick. How you holding up while I've been out of town, bro?
For real, bro. How you holding up? It's going okay. It's going all right.
I had
an expensive meal last night.
Oh, yeah?
From a restaurant.
Oh yeah, New York restaurant week.
Operated by Food and Wine magazine.
Ooh, neat. That way they actually own it?
Yeah, like it's and like
that's cool.
So they have a bunch of different like recipes there from different chefs. Mm-hmm. And like the head chef is on rotation, and it's like the chef of the year from Food and Wine magazine gets like a residency there for some, I don't know. It was a nice place. It was a nice place. Good eats. Pricey, but good eats.
Well, do you remember the name of it?
Chef's Club by Food and Wine on Mulberry.
Like near Chinatown?
Yeah. Down by Little Italy.
Okay. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
See, whenever I go to Little Italy, I always go to Vincent's because I'm like, I don't go there very often, but when I do like to get Italian food because there's good Italian restaurants there. I mean, kind of a duh statement, but I like Vincent's, especially because they make and jar their own sauce.
Always a plus.
And if you haven't had it, the sweet is really good. And I know that you like hot stuff, and their hot, like, Italian sauce is hot. I mean, it is a hot sauce.
Ouch.
Speaking of hot sauce, hey, Sasha, how you doing? I would love to put hot sauce on you, girl.
Oh, okay, shit. Enzo. All right. Enzo from this week's Raw.
And with that segue.
We start this week's Monday Night Raw with huge pops for the boss, Sasha Banks, coming out as our new WWE Women's Champion.
Since you're doing the recap, I'm going to do my Bob impression. Mm-hmm.
And obviously Charlotte comes out and says she's going to take Sasha back on at SummerSlam.
Slam that
son. On her own. Because she's all like, I haven't lost on my own. And she's all like, yeah, well, you haven't fought on your own. There are a lot of great burns in there.
Sick burn. This is what opened up the show?
Yeah.
Because keep in mind also, I did catch a lot of Raw, but the first hour, I completely missed. But that's dope.
Yeah. And then Jericho comes out to interrupt the ladies feuding in the ring.
Was it magical?
And tells them all to shut up.
Quiet.
And quiet. He's better than all of them.
Quiet.
And quiet. Who comes out to shut up Jericho?
Kevin Owens.
But Enzo Amore.
Oh, I knew he was coming out at some point here. This is a surprise for me, people.
Solo Enzo comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into the ring and starts very unsubtly hitting on Sasha.
Yeah, flirting was a word that got tossed around this week by a lot of people.
Flirting is one way to put it very lightly.
I have not even been able to watch, like, on Hulu or anything that first hour that I missed. So I have no idea. Was it really that intense?
It was pretty.
Somebody said he kissed her hand.
Like,
somebody said that when he kissed her hand, that she, like, wiped it off or something. Like her reaction at first was like, he kissed her.
She was very bemused during the whole thing, but okay. She started giving in towards the end.
Because the only line I heard from it was something about hot sauce on her, and then also saying something about wanting to put some certified G in her.
It was very, like, he was getting lines in that I don't know if he's going to get fined later.
Well, I did see the oranges and banana thing, too. I mean, it was a pretty risky Raw this week. Risque Raw.
All sorts of things. Also, it's a new era, bro.
Okay, Bob. So, Enzo's out there putting the moves on.
So then Foley comes out, does his cheap pops. Oh, my goodness. I haven't shown you what's in my basement yet.
Is this something you want to say on a podcast that yes. people listen to?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I thought. Okay. I'll get to that after recaps.
Okay. So Foley comes out and he sets up the big surprise, an intergender tag team match.
What? These used to be the kinds of things that were like stupid filler.
No, but we have like the top faces in the company. Against right. some of the top heels in the company.
I mean, that sounds incredible. It was and it was okay. I'll let you get into it and recap in just a second, but just real quick. But was it good?
It was all right.
I mean, that still sounds better than it used to be, because it used to just be like the men and their valets. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
Like a hair pulley kind
of
thing.
Oh, I mean, it was a wrestling match.
That's yeah. I mean, because like
yeah, there was no intergender wrestling.
Right.
It was an intergender tag team match, but there's no guys suplexing girls and girls right. armbarring guys.
Well, yeah.
It was...
Although, did you ever watch that Candice Rae?
No, not yet.
It was like, it was the Young Bucks versus, like, I want to say it was Candice Rae.
It's from 2014, PWG.
And, oh, what's his name?
Joey Ryan.
Joey Ryan, the dick guy. That's how I always remember. Yeah, because
they're engaged, if memory serves.
Him and that woman?
Yeah, him and Candace. Joey and Candace are engaged, I believe. Anyway.
Yeah, you keep going. I'm going to find this.
it's not, that video is not important, especially considering it's over 2 years old now, but that's right. Okay.
All right. So they're in the ring.
Yeah. So they're wrestling and Dana comes out to help Charlotte and they get the win. Charlotte and Jericho get the win over Sasha and Enzo due to Dana fuckery. And then
was Kevin Owens on commentary?
Yes.
Because that was something else I heard.
Kevin Owens was on commentary and he had a tie loosely tied around his neck.
That's hilarious.
It was very lulzy.
I hope, by the way, that him and Jericho do a program together where they're on the same side. I don't know about a feud between them, but I would absolutely love to see more of the two of them together because I find them truly hilarious.
And it was the first instance of a wrestler being at the announce table with the announce team in the new era with the new placement of the announce team. And there was no wrestler interference for once.
Yay!
Well, except for Dana, I guess, but boo. Whatever.
but not by the person on the announce team.
Right?
That's great.
Anyway, Mark Henry shows up and is apparently going to be sent to Rio to promote WWE at the Olympics.
Okay. They must not like him very much.
And so he says he wanted to reopen the Hall of Pain and he's going to take the U.S. belt with him. So they set up a match with him and Rusev for the U.S. belt.
having not seen that, I'm going to imagine that's not what happened.
Finn and Rollins have a backstage scuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Rusev cuts a promo, says he's the best.
I did see Lana's dress. I did see that on social media.
And they're setting up a Reigns match with Rusev for SummerSlam.
That's right. That's where I tuned in.
Yeah.
That red and deeper. Dude, are his clothes getting blacker? Like the darks on his outfit are getting darker.
Well, yeah, they definitely are. But then he had that red.
Yeah, the red accent. Red pop. That was weird. I mean, cool, but weird. Do you think this gets him over with the thing?
We had the New Day come out, and Xavier had to sit out for the Gallows and Anderson match.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a weird match. But Big E ended up winning for the New Day, pinning the club. But then the club did a beatdown of the New Day.
Right. In front of Xavier's family.
Yes. Wow. Then we have a match between Cesaro and Sheamus. They say they are going for something. They both felt like they were misrepresented. And this is some of the great kayfabe coming in Raw this week.
Is that sarcasm or legit?
No, legitimate. Mm-hmm. Legitimate, because we had Cesaro and Sheamus backstage and they're like, this is bullshit. We got drafted so late, especially Cesaro. Cesaro's like, I didn't even want to come to this show, like, and I got drafted. This is like, and we were even saying a couple weeks ago. And then Mick comes out and is like, yeah, we didn't pick you because we have this medical file that shows that you have like these injuries. And he's like, oh,
that
makes sense. And it makes sense. Like,
so they said that they wanted to draft him higher, but then his injuries made him drop. Like,
Mick wanted to draft him higher, but Stephanie pushed him down because
of the
injuries.
Oh,
but, because Stephanie was also there. Anyway, so then this part gets after the great kayfabe explanations that we had. Then we get confusion because they're like, "You guys get a shot at the title belt sometime, I guess. Whoever wins
a title or the title." Oh, that's part of the confusion. You guys at home can't.
They're just like. They're just like.
It says it all.
It was so. I don't know. Point is, Cesaro ends up beating Sheamus.
Okay.
So now Cesaro has
a title shot.
A shot at something
eventually.
or he's the number one contender for something.
Eventually.
Something.
Good, good,
good. Cesaro's in a good spot is what we're getting at here.
Okay. Okay.
And then we have a big return as the Toon Man band gets in the middle of the ring with Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal!
And Heath Slater.
It's a two-man band!
And Foley walks out and says...
Was it a happy reunion between the two of them?
They loved it. They were going nuts with each other. They were having a great time.
Did Jinder play the air bass? Or the air sitar? That's what remember. He played. I couldn't... He was like... At one point, he was playing the, quote, air sitar. But then I think at some point they kind of switched him to like air bass. I don't know. But it was always great.
But Foley walks out and says, hey, there's a contract on the line between you two.
No.
Go, 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 go. Match.
No.
And Jinder just squashes Heath.
No.
And so now Jinder's on Raw.
Why? Here's my question is why bring him back to Raw when Raw doesn't need any more? SmackDown, could that would have been an entertaining SmackDown storyline. Anyway, okay, keep going.
So
keep going. Maybe I should just not catch up. This should be my opportunity. This is my way out.
Don't worry. Slater is still the number one hottest free agent.
Dude, maybe
don't think his story ends tonight.
Maybe we get a Slater Gator reunion.
Slater Gator. Oorah, oorah, oorah.
So and now here's the part for Corey to be excited.
Oh.
Paul Heyman enters the ring.
Good.
And Paul Heyman does his normal Brock 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 Brock.
Wait, is this already towards the end of the night?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't wasn't Sami there a match?
Zayn, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. So there's the Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins match.
Right.
And you can guess exactly how.
I mean, I'm assuming that it was Sami looked strong in defeat.
You're right.
Okay.
It doesn't really advance any storylines. It just is a filler main event wrestling spot.
I'm going to call from now on whenever they put a strong up and coming babyface against somebody who's clearly getting the biggest push in the company, I'm going to call it Tenactin because it's always strong in defeat. I can tell you love it. You're trying to pretend like you didn't love that, but you did.
So Lesnar comes out. Heyman does his promo.
He's so good.
As always, Brock stands there just staring.
It's all he's got to do.
Staring.
It's all he's got to do.
And as Paul goes, he's calling Orton out, calling him, you know, a little baby. He's just like, you think you're going to hit the RKO? You'll never. Boom. He fucking appears out of nowhere, actually hits a legitimate RKO out of nowhere.
That's so sick.
And goes through the crowd like the Shield.
I did see the social media of him getting so fired up with the crowd. And like Orton's got a temper, so it's notorious. And he doesn't usually like doing those like leaving the crowd things. But I saw that he was so fired up that he just took his shirt off.
Oh, yeah. And no, just he was like, doing poses with people in the crowd. It
that's
was
great.
Like, and you know, I'm not quite sure how it happened, because obviously I only saw the live feed, so the camera.
Did you see the fan? You didn't see the fan video?
No.
So this is one of the only things I saw, because I, again, super out of the loop, but this is one of those rare things that I know about this week. There's a fan video you can find. It's on YouTube.
Was he under the ring?
He was under the ring, and I don't, like, they were like, we don't know how he got down there, how long he was there, because no one in the crowd saw him. So people were like, maybe there was like some kind of a door underneath there, like a stagehand's door or something. Because they were like, otherwise Randy Orton must have been down there since before they let the fans in.
No, here's probably what happened was they cut to commercials. They show commercials on the screen. They darken the ring. They probably just threw a coat over him and he like ran out.
Maybe.
Huddled under. Everyone was looking at the screen. The ring was dark.
Well, this is because the people who were at ringside.
Like the camera guys are going in and out through there all the time.
Right, but you would notice somebody getting under the ring even when, if it was. Because think about when we were at Extreme Rules. We were that far back. But even when they turned the lights down, quote unquote, it was still bright enough from the Trons that you could see the ringside area. The people who were at ringside said they didn't see anyone go under the mat. They didn't see anyone hide under there. So when he emerged, the person who was rolling only started rolling on it because he saw the awning, whatever, the curtain, like on the side of the apron move. And so he started recording on it because he saw it moving and thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And then Randy Orton sneaks out and you hear the guy in the video go, "The fuck?" Like, it's pretty rad. We're checking out. But still, that's crazy. It was very out of nowhere, right?
It was legitimately out of nowhere.
So what were your thoughts on that? I mean, did it actually surprise you? Were you legitimately like, "Oh my God"?
I mean, you kind of figured that there would be some kind of interaction. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, that's what WWE is. The only 100% guaranteed way to get someone to show up is talking shit about them in the middle of a ring.
Right.
Did
you think you would be there? Let's do it like this. Did you think going into Raw, before Raw even went on the air, that you would see Randy Orton?
I guess before Raw went on the air, no.
Okay. When the segment started, did you think you were, like, on a percentage scale? Zero being there's no chance, and 100% being like, I was sure Randy Orton was coming out before Paul started talking.
No.
Like, low percentage?
Yeah.
Like, 0 to 10?
Sure.
Okay. Once he started saying, like, Randy Orton should just not fight, where do you think you were?
40.
40. And then when he was like, Randy Orton can't hit an RKO on Brock Lesnar.
Okay. Then I was like, at that point, there's no real time to react because it just legitimately came out of nowhere.
So were you happy about this? Is this a good surprise for you?
Yeah, no, I thought it actually made me care more about the SummerSlam match. Because, like, this SummerSlam match felt very much like the UFC 200 fight. It was very much just like, hey, here's two high-profile guys that are in a fight together, go. And you're just like, okay, well, I don't care about them. Okay. This felt very much like a boxing match where it's just kind of like, okay, we got two big names. Let's have them have a fight.
But now you can't.
But now they're actually like building up a decent reason.
See, I'm gonna take the opposite road on you here because, like, I personally disliked it because I'm like, you're only a week and a half, 2 weeks removed. No, you're a little over 2 weeks removed from your brand split draft, right? But it's only your second post draft pay-per-view week out, so you're only, you know, really 2 weeks into the new brand lineups, and you're already having people cross the line where it's like it was supposed to be this big. I guess they never like 100% set down the rules, but it was heavily implied that people who were on one brand would not be appearing on the other brand. And so 2 weeks in, it's like, okay, so now the rules are out the window. I mean, is it only Brock and Randy who this applies to?
I feel like yes, because I feel like they were probably going to work a Brock Orton program for SummerSlam, and I feel like this draft, honestly, is a more recent plan than that.
So this like surprise,
I think the brand crossover ends with this match. I genuinely believe that.
I mean, I would really hope so, because it's like that's part of what's going to keep this meaningful, that these are competing brands. Because otherwise, you wouldn't want your superstar showing up on the other brand and increasing the other brand's ratings. If the whole kayfabe here is it's competition between Steph and Shane, you don't want Dean Ambrose showing up on Raw to kick Roman Reigns in the nuts, because then Raw's ratings go up at the expense of SmackDown and vice versa.
I mean, yes and no, because the whole kayfabe reason of showing up on someone else's show and beating them up is to say, I'm the stronger one. Come watch me on my show.
I mean, I suppose so. I don't know. There's a lot of things that are kind of questionable for me between all the ways the drafts have been handled. But, you know, also real quick, how did you feel about How did you feel about the New Day's fruit?
It was
that whole gimmick they did.
It was cheap and it went on for a bit too long. But
do you think New Day needs to drop the title soon?
Yes, and it's happening at SummerSlam to the club. Like,
is that what you think?
That seems pretty obvious given the like they got their they got their record, they got their longest run. Like, they're still going to be making money. Like, WWE knows that they're still going to be selling well. Like, they need to lose the belts and make themselves like care more.
Right.
I mean,
that makes sense. It makes sense.
The
care I'm looking at.
Right. They feel complacent.
I definitely agree. But I don't want them to split up though.
I don't want them to split up. I do want them to lose the titles.
Okay. And that gives them a chance to do something interesting and new.
Exactly. And then they don't have to be in the title hunt scene.
And for a bit. And I also I agree that it is good for the kayfabe that we have a reason that Cesaro was drafted later. I still wish that they would have explained during the draft a reason why kayfabe Nakamura and Samoa Joe were not drafted and Mojo Rawley was. You know, stuff like that.
Good questions.
You know, even if they had just said like, oh, like, you know, Regal gets to hold some people back in NXT, but he doesn't have to tell us who.
The perfect explanations people had were you couldn't draft title holders or number one contenders.
Okay, so that would be Nakamura, Bayley, and
Samoa Joe.
But it wouldn't explain Ty Dillinger. But I mean, I'm not, you know, shitting on it. I think that is a better explanation than the one that I have, which is, you know, WWE is the shrug emoji. Like, that's my only explanation for that. But still, I mean, at least it looks like they're trying to come up with kayfabe reasons. And last thing I want to say about Raw before we move on to this exciting SmackDown recap. I'm super pumped, Bob. So I heard apparently what happened with Paul Heyman was that going into Monday Night Raw, this is again the rumor that's going around. Mm-hmm. We may never know. But the rumor is that going into Raw, Paul Heyman and WWE were very far apart in terms of numbers for renewing his contract. And WWE was pissed because of how much outside non-WWE related stuff he was doing with his like Heyman Hustle website and everything. But that Brock Lesnar went to Vince and co and said, I need Paul with me. Make it fucking happen.
I walk.
Yeah. He was like, I need Paul. So make it happen. And then they just went, fine, Paul, you get what you want. And he was like, then I'll be at Raw. And it's like, it's the perfect, it's like we've been saying about Brock. Brock gets what Brock wants. Brock does what Brock wants. And it's so hilarious to me to think that like they were just like, no, Paul, we won't give you more money. He's like, okay, then I won't show up. And they're like, all right, well, then don't show up. And then Brock Lesnar was like, give him what
he's
wants.
He's going to show up.
He's showing up. And then they were like, of course he is. Whatever you say, Brock. Paul, you got your money. You son of a bitch. You got your money, Paul. So that's again, right? That's pretty crazy. So you were happy with Raw overall?
Yeah, I thought it was a good show. I enjoyed it. I had fun.
I mean, it's hard to live up to that first one.
Well, yeah.
The first new era, but...
Yeah, but this was still good stuff.
It seems like the writing is... still really good.
Yeah, no, the writing is the present, like everything, the presentation, the announce team,
yeah,
just, you know, it's all working really well.
Do you remember being this excited for Raw?
No.
Right? It's been a while since I was like, oh yeah. Like, the last time I can remember being like, oh my God, I can't wait for Raw. No shit, was probably after WrestleMania 30. Like, that was the last time when I felt like, oh man, Raw's... Or actually, maybe in the lead up to that, when Daniel Bryan did the TakeOver Raw movement thing. But in the Daniel Bryan era, which it's been over, what, like 2 years? Yeah. This is WrestleMania 32 just happened, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been over 2 years since I've been excited about Raw.
So...
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on to SmackDown,
oh, there's another.
I have to tell you what's in my basement.
Okay, yeah, right. So, drum roll, please. What is in Bob's basement?
Over this past weekend, my parents went to a Rochester Red Wings game. The Rochester Red Wings are the AAA team in Rochester for baseball.
What are they?
The Red Wings.
The Fighting Red Wings.
So for some reason, he's doing the minor league baseball circuit right now. But Mick Foley was the special guest.
Ooh, did he throw out the pitch or something?
I don't know. I was just there. A guest.
Okay.
But my dad brought a sock with him.
Shout out to Bill, friend of the show.
And I guess Foley was doing autographs.
Wait, your dad pulled out what?
He brought a sock with him.
Did he knew that Mick Foley was going to be there, or is your dad carrying around?
So my dad knew Mick Foley was going to be there.
Good.
we'd been emailing during the day. I even sent him the Hell in a Cell 98 to be like, just watch, if you're going to watch one thing about Mick Foley, it's this.
My God.
And Foley made a full Socko face on the sock and autographed it.
What? Wait, and your dad gave it to you?
Yeah.
What?
It's in my basement right now.
What? Why am I not jerking off into this thing right now? Did he put it on his did he put it on his hand, Bob?
I doubt it. I doubt it. But still.
Well, I hope that one day our podcast gets like really big and wrestlers actually listen to it. And then Mick Foley is going to come on our podcast. And then he goes back and listens to me talking about how...
Did he jerk off on his sock?
Did he put his hand on it? I'm going to go jerk off on it. And then he like comes, either doesn't come on our podcast or he comes on our podcast and confronts me about it. Maybe that'll happen. Probably not.
Moving on to Smook Dune.
Still exciting, though. And shout out to Bill, friend of the show. If you're listening, Bill, hey.
So SmackDown opens with a cold open. A cold open.
Okay, like a
television cold open.
Okay.
You know, opening segments before the main intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of
Shane and Daniel getting mad at Orton, saying you need to not be on Raw. And you need to be, you know, not attacking Brock Lesnar.
Okay, so they yelled at him for doing it.
Yeah, they hired additional security in case there was retaliation tonight.
Did they say anything else other than yelling at him? Because that's kind of heelish.
They reprimanded him.
But they didn't say like anything positive about it?
I mean, I don't remember exactly.
I'm just asking because that's like it seems kind of heelish of them to yell at him, but
they're also bosses.
That's true.
If you were supposed to be on your movie set and you didn't show up, you think your bosses would show up and yell at you and be like, "Hey, you're supposed to be here and you were there."
I don't think that's the correct analogy because it'd be like if there was two rival movies shooting next to each other.
Okay, fine. How about for me?
And I went over and RKO'd the other side.
If Mo found my name as a buy.
Shout out to Mo Mosey, friend of the show.
You know what? I'm done.
No. What? Sorry. If your analogy is if Mo found you what?
If Mo found my name on an article on a different site.
That is true.
He'd be like, the fuck? You write for us.
I mean, I see that analogy, but I still think that to adjust it for this situation, it'd be like if Mo found your name on an article on another site, like what's a rival for IDigi? Like what?
Kotaku.
Okay. Sure. He found your name on an article on Kotaku, but it was an article you wrote shitting on Kotaku, just ripping it up that you hacked their website to put up. And like, that's a more correct analogy because I feel like Mo would be like, Bob, I never want to see your name on another Kotaku article again, but way to shit on Kotaku.
I'm sure we could find it. I'm sure they probably said something like that. Honestly, I didn't catch the opening segment anyway.
It's fine.
I got home late from the gym and I was in the shower.
Dude, pump iron, dude. Get buff, get ripped.
Dude, I was I mean, sure, it's an elliptical 5K.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, a real running 5K. But I did that shit in 18 minutes, 18 seconds.
Ooh.
That's 3.1 miles in 18 minutes.
Hashtag fit
that's
Bob.
6 minute miles, dude.
That's legit, dude. Let's get that trending on Twitter. Everyone, you're listening right now, tweet at us. Hashtag
fit I'm Bob. Not a fit person. I should not be able to run that fast. Anyway.
Moving on.
So, Dean starts the show post, you know, show intro, in the middle of the ring, asks for Ziggler to come out, and Ziggler and Dean start, going off. They both talk about how they're deserving of being the champion.
Right.
It was really well done, in terms of both of them being faces, but both of them wanting the belt and not coming across too heelish.
That's good.
That
was concerning for me how they would work.
Yeah,
that
Dean
out.
Dean came across a little bit arrogant, but that's pretty in his character, I think.
Okay.
There's an amazing line about how Dean was like, "I started from the bottom in this company and I wrestled my way up," and Ziggler's like, "You started from the bottom? You started in a badass group, The Shield. I started from the bottom. I started as a male cheerleader, bro. Oh. I started green tights."
They did the Spirit Squad reference? Get out of here. That's crazy. shit. Shout out to Spirit Squad, friend of the show.
And it was very much just Jesus. Like... It was very much just like, yeah, you did start from the bottom. No denying. Dean did not.
That is so true.
It was so funny.
For those of you just joining us, do you know how podcasts work? But also, for those of you just joining us, Bob is recapping SmackDown. I've not seen it. I've not read it. I know nothing. These are my honest and genuine first reactions to how they booked this. So... So Ziggy Poo and Deanie are in the ring.
Yeah. And then Bray, Sister Abigail's out of nowhere on Dolph.
Wait, he just shows up in the ring?
Well, he does his, you know, Bray riot entrance. Yeah.
Okay.
And Dean pieces. Dean's like, yeah, I'm out of here. And then then Dolph and Bray... cut promos.
Okay.
And Bray's like, yeah, you think you're so strong, man?
Man,
you think you're so strong? Put your number one contendership on the line tonight, man.
Your Bray's getting better, dude. I can tell you've been practicing. In your basement mirror alone.
It's very Wyatt-esque. please, I'd be so much more a good Rowan or Strowman, though, in all fairness.
You mean not saying anything?
No, just my beard is.
Oh, the beard. I was gonna say, now you get to hear Strowman go, Roman! Which, by the way,
that's so fucking funny.
That music's amazing.
Oh right, I forgot. In Raw, there's another Braun squash match.
Was this the guy who said I got paid?
Match. Yeah, is very much like Spider-Man. You know, the first right. Spider-Man movie. I got you for 3 minutes. Your last 3 minutes, you got $700.
Yeah, like I heard that. I didn't actually see that segment, but I heard from people that like they were like, because they asked the guy the other week why he did it, and he was like, because I believe anybody, you know, the guy with the Offspring tattoo, I believe that anybody who's got two fists can take it. And then I heard that this guy was just like, Byron's like, why are you doing this? He's like, man, they're giving me $500, and if I can win or survive 5 minutes, I get $1,000 or something like that. And I was like, you know what? Kayfabe. That is the most sensical thing I have literally ever heard on this entire right. show. Why would you wrestle Braun Strowman? Not for pride, not for the title. It's just like the guy's just like, man, look, I got kids.
Yo, I got money.
I'm going to get 500 to fight, and I'm going to get 1,000 if I can survive.
I could just lie down and get $500.
Dude, that'd be... I mean, but Braun's not going to let you just lay down, probably. Kayfabe. Anyway, so we're back to SmackDown. Right. So Bray cuts a promo. Ziggy cuts a promo.
Yeah, and so they set up the main event is for Ziggler's number one contendership spot.
Gotcha. That's interesting. I actually really like that. I think that sounds really like a fun, interesting main event.
Uh-huh. An interesting thing to note, a new presentation bit with SmackDown.
Okay.
They're bringing back those weird stats that slide in when they're announcing, like, the person walking down has their name.
Wait, so is the name, like, the nameplate's not at, like, the bottom anymore?
Matt Fax, basically.
So the nameplate's not at the bottom anymore?
No, it's like a side thing.
They've gone back to, like, the side nameplate where they put, like, height, weight, and then, like, random factoids in it. So it's pop-up video wrestling edition.
Yeah, it's Matt Fax. Matt Fax is video. Back.
I can't do that. Tate can do that thing. No, the one where you put your finger in your mouth, like the, he would always do that. I can't fucking do it. The pop, and then he'd do the Seinfeld.
Anyway.
Okay.
One of my favorite segments of the night was next.
Shout out to Tate, friend of the show.
The Eva Marie, Becky Lynch segment. Because Eva Marie's entrance is so fucking perfect.
I know.
And so she comes in and does her, like, you know, kisses on the post. And as the match is about to start, she grabs her thigh tenderly. And she's like, oh, my leg hurts. Oh, it really hurts.
Okay.
And the ref is just like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Do you need us to call the match? Can you go on? She's like, I can't wrestle. Call the match. Like,
wait, that, oh my goodness. She says it that casually?
It's very, like, this is how I'm surprised anyone got fucking worked.
All
by
I
angle.
Saw was a was social media going, oh my God, all red every day, injured at SmackDown. And I'm like, what? For real? She's back out? That's all I saw.
I mean, but like the mics were hot on the refs as they ran over, like, can you wrestle? Are you fit to wrestle? And she's just like, and they're like, oh no, and like, call the medics, throwing up the X's directly into the cameras. Like,
weak.
It was like, I don't know how anyone got moved by this,
weak.
But it was so funny. It was funny as fuck. It was perfect for her character.
I love Eva's new intro, which is why we're copying it for today's.
I love her whole performance, because, like, Becky was in the background the whole time, like, warming up, stretching, like, yeah, let's have a match, let's have a match, let's have a match. And then she was just like, I'm going to blue ball you. Peace. Ghosted. It was so funny and perfect for her character.
I love. Here's the thing about Eva Marie is I feel bad for her sometimes because she tries hard. She sucks. She's very bad at what she does, but she tries really hard. And it doesn't matter how hard she tries. The fans have already decided, even more than Roman, that she will never get the chance to be cheered. There's no chance that they will cheer her. They boo her for existing. And it's like even if, like...
But here, that's why she's now playing into it with these moves.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
By just getting this nuclear heat.
If Roman came out with, like, a Make-A-Wish kid, no one would boo him. They'd be like, oh, right, we forgot, besides the character we hate, he's a human being, he's doing something. If Eva Marie came out with a Make-A-Wish kit and with
kittens, four strollers pushing Make-A-Wish kits,
and with kittens in her arms that she saved from a house fire, she's like charred a little bit, all red, everything, they would still boo her for being Eva Marie in their presence. The name Eva Marie, saying Roman gets, like, the crowd agitated, saying Eva Marie gets the crowd booing. And it's like her Snapchat stories where she's like, hey, I'm so excited. And you just feel so bad for her sometimes because you're like, man, they hate you. they fucking hate you, Eva. You better just go home. And this new entrance is so perfect because she doesn't talk or anything.
Which is really funny because she represents so much of what women's wrestling was.
Before the revolution, quote unquote.
Well, even more in the Attitude Era. I mean, like, definitely before the
you mean like bra and panty match era,
the, you know, Beth Phoenixes,
yeah,
of our time,
man.
But miss, yeah, miss, like,
that glamazon, miss that glamazon, dude. Beth Phoenix, she was great.
No, but like the Stacey Keiblers and the Kelly Kellys of our
model
time.
Era,
yeah.
Like, I'm attractive now. I may quote female wrestler era,
yeah.
I mean, it's true.
She's, and even a throwback to
even,
that time.
Even the Bellas got real good. Like, that's the thing. It's like Nikki more than Brie. But that being said,
yeah, they at least worked on becoming wrestlers.
They really tried. And Nikki, dude, if Nikki hasn't been cleared to come back, she's cleared the train, but not to come back. If Nikki came back, I'd be very excited. Because I heard she's going to have new finishers. She's been working with John Cena and Daniel Bryan. her boyfriend mm-hmm. and her brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And like, she's going to have new finishers. She's not, I mean, obviously she has to watch the neck and stuff. So the quote rack attack, which they were going to rename that anyway, but she won't be doing that anymore. But still, like, you know, she did a good Alabama Slamma. Like, I mean, I'd be excited, but Eva Marie just, it's like, I mean, clearly she does try. It just doesn't show. It's like, yeah, I mean, you can give all the rare candies you want to a Magikarp. Still only no splash.
Sorry. Anyway,
moving on.
Carmella is being interviewed by Renee.
Good. I'm excited.
At like a little side table.
I never got Carmella.
And Natalia gets interrupted, or Natalia interrupts the interview.
Oh, man. They're setting up a Natalia-Carmella feud.
I know. Get yourselves buckled in for this ride.
I actually like Natalia, too. It's gross. Quick, name a move from Carmella's moveset.
How about we just go on to the next segment? Anyway, Corey, this is why recaps take so long, because you just talk about nothing related to the Raw or SmackDown.
That is related.
Anyway, AJ Styles comes out,
okay,
and starts cutting a very negative promo. Starts hating on John Cena.
Of course, John Cena, right.
Starts hating on John Cena fans. Good. Starts hating on John Cena kids.
What?
He attacks kids.
Like Make-A-Wish?
Directly. No, like, there was probably I'm going to guess a 5-year-old in, like, the second row wearing, like, the sweatbands, the shirt, no. and the towel. And she's like, this fucking kid is so. And then he's like, you know what's even worse than the John Cena kid fans?
The kid
community. The fucking kid parents.
Oh. And she's like,
because you enable
Heel AJ's good, huh?
He's very good. Very good. And it ends with a challenge for a SummerSlam match setting up Cena's Styles.
Yeah. The rubber match, as it were. The singles rubber match, as it were, I guess, right? Sort of. I mean, AJ's got to go over on him, right? You think?
We also have...
Okay.
A great debut. Big debut.
Oh, was it AA?
American Alpha.
Yeah.
Big debut.
Ready, willing, and Gable.
Right? Because who gives a shit about Jason Jordan?
Oh, come on. I love Jason. Both of their stories are cool.
Anyway, they fought the Vaudevillains. And the Vaudevillains continue to be lowered down into the card. Obviously a big win for AA.
Was it clean?
Oh yeah.
Oh. Man, Vaudevillains. What happened? Oh, there's a signature they do, a tag team signature.
The one where they slide into the ropes with their tongues out? Yeah, they did that. They go on the ground.
Was it a good match, though?
It was good. It was fine.
Okay. I mean, that's the most important thing, I guess, for their debut. Not just the win, but also...
Yeah, I mean, they had a couple good spots. They had, like, a good one where they made a sneak tag, and then he came flying over the other guy with a double clothesline.
Nice.
It was good. It was some good spots. Definitely fun watch.
Was the crowd into it? That's like, this is actually an important question.
They actually seemed pretty into it. Yeah.
Okay. Because
was in Nashville, so it was very old school, like wrestling mentality. They dug it.
Because that's the important thing for a new tag team like that, when they, like, you know, when they need that credibility, especially if they're not in, like, a smarky town. Like, as long as the crowd was into it, they should be good. They're great performers.
So, you ready for a big surprise?
I don't know if I am or not.
We had a Randy Orton match.
Uh-huh. Against?
Fandango.
Gross. Oh, right. I forgot that Breezango got drafted to SmackDown. They got drafted to SmackDown. That's crazy. Is Golden Truth on SmackDown?
Yeah.
All right. The Pokemon.
No, Golden Truth's on... Raw.
But Breezango's on SmackDown.
Yes.
Huh. I totally forgot that. Anyway.
So here's some pretty obvious stuff coming out. There was all the extra security around the ring for the Randy Orton Fandango match. Can you guess what happens?
Okay. I wish I had the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music playing right now. Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar showed up and then beat up the security guards and suplexed Randy Orton, final answer.
You're wrong. He F5'd Randy.
On a technicality. Suplex would have been cooler.
But yeah, so they basically recreate that spot from Raw, but in reverse.
Okay. Did he come from under the ring?
No, I think he just came from the like crowd. I feel like he just like busted through because like they had all the security and he definitely was like busting through all the security. They were trying to hold him back and he like gets in the ring and beats up Orton, and then all like everyone is just like corralling him out and they're all pushing him away and pushing away, and they like trail him all the way out backstage and they keep pushing him, and then like there's a big black SUV and Paul Heyman's in, he's like, just get in the car, and he like pushes him in the car and then they drive away.
So kind of like almost like when the Undertaker and him got split up, but just mostly security guards instead of the whole locker room, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of funny. So Paul drove up in an SUV. He was like, get in the car, Brock!
Well, he was already a valet, and he just like pushed him into the back of the...
I would like to imagine instead it's just Paulie Dangerously right, driving the SUV. And he drove it into the crowd.
And then peels out.
Like how Alberto Del Rio used to come out in his car, like driving up next to the ramp. Also, I'd like to think that when Brock Lesnar came through the crowd to get to the ring, he just suplex people to get him out of his way, just beating people down in front of him like Mario to the Toads.
Yeah. We also have Heath Slater show up and talk to Daniel Bryan
about a job,
about getting a contract for SmackDown.
Nice. And
there is a contract on the line for next week
against
Rhino.
Gross, dude. Wait, didn't Shelton Benjamin come back yet?
Nope.
When does that happen?
I don't know.
Fuck.
They didn't mention it like at all on this.
Dude, SmackDown. I thought it'd be better if he had a contract match against Shelton Benjamin.
No dice.
That'd been, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, Shelton. And
yeah, to get Shelton signed back in.
Yeah.
But considering he just got fucking squashed by Jinder Mahal, you'd figure he'd be fucking squashed by Shelton.
Well. Okay, overall, what do you think of SmackDown?
I'm not done yet.
There's more?
The main event.
Wait, that wasn't the main event?
The main event Ziggy is going to be Orton, Breeze, Fandango.
But no, but Brock Lesnar showing up, I thought would be like, end the show
we
on
got
that.
The number one contendership spot on the line.
Wait, so they didn't even end the show with Orton getting F5?
Number one contendership spot on the line.
Was that better than the F5?
Yes.
Ooh.
The Ziggy Wyatt match. If you go back and watch one match this week.
From either show?
From either show. You should probably watch the Ziggy Wyatt match.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is some of the hot shit.
Is it? So it's good.
So it's good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Shit.
If you listen to 1 30-second clip of Small Package, listen to Bob and Corey's rendition of Yeah. What's up?
But
wow.
So what happens? It's a big match. Got a lot of people thinking, you know, how's this gonna go? Is this gonna turn into like a triple threat? Is it gonna be a double DQ? Who's gonna, you know, how are they gonna, who's gonna pin who, who's gonna make
I wish
who
you could
strong?
All see Bob right now. He's so animated. This must have been an amazing match.
It was a good fight. It was a good fight. You had a lot of, a lot of good, oh man, Bray's dominating, a lot of good Ziggler dominating. And it ends up with a super kick, 1, 2, 3.
Whoa.
Ziggler keeps his singles spot. Both guys look phenomenal. There's a couple really, cause, Ambrose was on, announce.
How was that?
Really good. He was really good on the announce, actually. And there's, he made a couple great calls, and there was one point where the announcers were like, you were really critical of Ziggler earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, and now you're kind of being, you know, supportive of him, you know, like how can you, and he's just like, I just want the best Ziggler there can be.
Okay.
It's a nice little like he's being hard on him to make sure that he's the best. I don't know. Anyway.
Cute. Ship it. Ziggler and Ambrose. Ship it, ladies.
Anyway. Yeah. That was how the match ended. But we have some bad news rumors that Bray Wyatt has sprained an ankle in that match.
Oh no.
He still finished the match. Even though apparently he was told to stop.
His leg is what just cost him a few months. Remember? So, shit.
So we'll see if he's at the WWE live events or not. But if he is not at the live events this weekend, then it's very likely that he is injured.
Great. That's exactly what they need, because they only have like 4 or 6 top main event quality guys right now, and he's one of them. Ugh.
Oh, right. I forgot a whole match.
A whole match?
Yeah, the first match.
The first match?
Apollo Crews versus Corbin versus Kalisto.
Oh, yeah. Kalisto got injured, didn't he? I was seeing on Twitter that he got hurt.
I don't remember that.
On Twitter, I saw a thing that said something about Cruz or Corbin did a move on him and he landed funny and he might have fucked up his knee.
Well, we'll have to see. I haven't read anything about that, but we'll have to look into
that. That would also suck.
But it was a number one contender spot for the IC title against The Miz at SummerSlam.
Fun.
And I want you to guess who wins. Cruz, Corbin, Kalisto.
Not Kalisto.
You are correct.
Against Miz?
Yes.
It has to be Cruz.
You are correct. Ding, 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 ding. Apollo Crews wins.
Because Corbin, Miz would be heel, and that would be kind of weird.
Uh-huh. So, yes, Apollo Crews. And it's unfortunate because Daniel Bryan botched his name, calling him Apollo Creed at the beginning of the show. But
Hashtag Daniel Bryan fucked up Apollo Creed. Get it trending.
But Apollo Crews is going to hopefully get a nice little push and maybe even a character soon. Maybe. We can all dream.
Who knows? His character is... He's the Intercontinental Champion.
I really want to like Apollo Crews. I like his moveset. I like his look. I like his in-ring ability.
The standing moonsault's dope as fuck, dude. Yeah. But unfortunately, there's no glitter around it. And that glitter is the personality.
Oh, speaking of standing moves, we have to move on to the Cruiserweight Classic.
Wait, one last thing while we're still on Raw and SmackDown-ish.
Yeah.
My heart is broken this week.
Why?
You know why. She's gone.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, buddy.
Lillian Garcia officially left the WWE.
Is out. See.
To take care of her sick father. Is yes. That what it was? Her father has cancer. So, you know, obviously everyone, including family us, wishes first. Her all the best. But she's left WWE for the time being. She didn't say exactly if it was permanent or not. And she said that she'll always
she
be
said,
WWE
I think
family.
She said she got a new job closer to home.
Right.
Or something. But... It's WWE. She obviously has no bad blood there, and I'm sure she can come back anytime she wants.
Right.
She's still talented. She's still great. So best of luck to her and her family.
And just for old time's sake, one last time. Championship. Lillian, you are bae. We will miss you. Especially Corey. Please tweet at me. @CBPoindexter. I love you, Lily Garcia.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are now officially done with the first round of the Cruiserweight Classic. The first 32 fighters have all fought, and we are now down to the second round of 16 fighters. So you probably get 4 more matches next week, which will be half of the second round.
You can go through the results if you'd like.
I will not, mostly because I don't necessarily think I can rattle off all of them, and I don't feel like looking them up.
Fair enough.
But I will say that there are a couple really great spots. I'm going to be talking about specifically the Rich Swann match, which is the one from 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Or I'm from a week ago, I guess.
Yeah, I am by the way, 2 episodes behind, so I've not seen either of these two. We've recapped the two with me that I've seen, so this will be...
But it's Rich Swann versus Jason Lee, who's a Hong Kong wrestler.
Wait, I thought Ho Ho Lun was the
Hong Kong wrestler. Yeah, there are two.
There's two?
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he actually wrestles in Ho Ho Lun's promotion in China.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. But he had... I won't tell you the winners, but...
you can if you want.
This spot is... Lee is sitting on top of the turnbuckle.
Okay.
So he's all the way up on top of the turnbuckles.
Like knocked out sitting?
Yeah, like dazed sitting.
Gotcha.
And Swan jumps and flips and turns it into a Hurricane Rana from the top turnbuckle standing in front of him.
Wow. So he's also in the third row.
What?
So wait, Rich Swan is standing on the third row.
No. He's standing on the mat.
Okay. And he jumps into a Rana?
Yes.
Against somebody sitting on the turnbuckle.
Yes.
That's pretty crazy.
I know. The more I see it, the more I'm like, no, how do his legs get over the top of it? Like, how?
Every once in a while, we see this kind of shit where we go, oh, that's why it's in the video game, because they can do it. Like, I always forget that someone mocaps that for the video game, but generally speaking.
And then later on in the match.
Same match?
Yeah. He does a standing 450.
What?
He just goes like boing.
A standing 450 like splash?
Yeah.
What?
Like,
say that one more time.
A standing 450.
We have a T-Rex. Jesus Christ, dude. I got to catch back up on that.
Yeah, no.
Hopefully, dude, here's the thing. Hopefully, over the next, because I'm in Jersey till the 14th. Hopefully, some of these nights we wrap early, I get on my tablet and catch up on this Cruiserweight Classic. And you guys at home, the fuck's wrong with you? What are you doing with your life?
Right?
Watch that Cruiserweight shit.
Only an hour long.
Any other standouts from last week or this week
for Cruiserweight? Oh my gosh. There's a match. It's some guy from like, I don't know. He's American. I think he's from Philly area.
Okay.
But he wrestles against another guy who's from, I think he's from Long Island actually. Cause the other guy's from Jersey. Thinking that they fought close together, but this is the guy who fights, and oh my God, after seeing him, you're going to want him on your television forever.
Shut up. For those of you, who is this wrestler?
I have to look his name back.
For those of you at home,
he's on the third episode of Cruiserweight.
Okay,
Classic.
I need you to do me a favor quick. Save this image. We're forward.
Anthony Bennett.
Okay.
Anthony Bennett, I feel.
Okay. Forward this to me at least so that I can put this on the Podbean blog for this.
I mean, it's just the third episode.
Or even better, this might just be the logo for, you know how I make the Photoshop logo every week for each episode?
Because he walks out like that in the episode.
Yeah, I think this is it for this week. I don't even think I put text on it.
Oh my God.
This is episode 14.
He's only like 5'5".
That's so
like,
crazy.
And like 140 pounds.
For those of you
something.
Who are listening and can't see the logo, if I make it this guy's face, whatever, and are curious, because we just keep going on about it. So he's got like a vertical fro, right? Like an eraser fro. So it's not like a round like snowball.
It's a high top fade.
High top fade, whatever. Dude, I mean it's tall though. It's got that like a, you know, that eraser look. Oh, yeah, that was popular.
It's
in the
like
90s?
A good like 4 or 5 inches. Yeah, like it's a tall.
That was like popular
haircut.
In the 90s, right? Like
this
early
is,
90s.
This is some Gerald fucking Hey Arnold shit.
Yeah,
like,
and he's got the Kanye shades on his eyes, but then also a second matching set of Kanye shades on his hair. That's pretty fucking bizarre, but it's kind of hilarious. Did he win?
No.
Damn.
But in all fairness, you should see the fucking Goliath guy he fights. Like
in a cruiserweight?
This guy is like, he looks like a fucking Spartan. Anthony Bennett. That's his name.
That's the guy with the glasses.
Fuck. Who does he fight?
Just Google search Anthony Bennett CWC match.
Anthony Nice?
That was his opponent?
Yeah.
Two Anthonys, the Battle of the Anthonys. Anthony.
He's like a junior Brock Lesnar. Like this guy is cut. Like
so, he's like at max for cruiserweight. Then probably kayfabe.
He's
because max for this tournament was like 205. It's crazy.
No, I think it's 215. But anyway, like look at this fucking. Like god of a
how many abs is that?
I don't know.
How many?
It's like 20.
It's at least a 14 pack minimum.
But like,
dude, he's got like oblique muscles that I didn't even know existed.
Like
I'm looking at this and then looking
at me.
But
here's the scary thing is he was like fast. Like that's why he was very Brock Lesnar-y. He was
Jesus
fast as
Christ.
Shit,
dude. Look at his fucking quads and hams, dude.
Yeah, so that's why when like little kid Afro goes against him,
people are questioning my sexuality describing this man. But you haven't seen this man. Oh, the only thing I don't like is that like his beard, goatee, chin strap thing is kind of douchey looking.
It looks a little better on the show.
Okay.
But
cuz this picture with that beard and haircut, I mean, yeah, he's a very attractive, very cut man, but he looks like he's looking at you going like, "Yo, dude, your girlfriend just walked by. I'm a fucker in the bathroom in a second. She's cool with it. You're not cool with it. I don't give a fuck."
Right.
Like he looks like he's like, "By the way, when I'm done, when your girlfriend and I are done having consensual sex, very consensual sex, I'm gonna have consensual sex with you." That's what it looks like he's saying in that picture. Good. So that's exciting. Anthony Bennett fought Anthony Nice. Man, the Cruiserweight Classic has been good though. Everything I've watched from it, I've been super excited about.
Yeah, it's some good fucking wrestling. And now that we move beyond the first round and go towards the next stuff.
It's so this going will be round of 16?
Yeah. Yeah. So there are 16 fighters left, which means that there are 8 matches for this round, which will drop to 8 fighters in 4 matches, and et cetera. So that means that the next taping next week should be half of the fights for this round.
What's the et cetera? I'm not good at math.
Get over yourself, dude.
16 fighters, 8 matches.
Grow up. I'm done. Actually, I'm done. Let's wrap this. We've been talking for a while.
We're done with CWC. We're done with Raw and SmackDown. I don't know if you watched any more WCPW.
I did not.
We need to, hopefully, the next couple weeks. So next week, I'll be in Jersey.
Yeah, next week could be tricky. Next week could be tricky to record, friends.
The quality might be different. We don't know. There may not be a music opening for the show. It may just kind of go into us talking. I mean, I'm really not sure. I'm going to try to record it with a headset mic and my shitty beat the fuck up keyboard and mouse doesn't work anymore laptop. I have to bring external mouse and external keyboard just to use the fucker. Because I don't really want to bring all this recording gear out to Jersey. I have so much shit already out there to be out there for 2 weeks for this feature. Monday Night Ross will play it by ear again. Again, sorry, this week I had my shoot. Gabe was busy with work, so it didn't work out. We'll try this Monday to see if we can record a Monday Night Ross. It also depends on if I can even see the fucking show.
Yeah, you can watch the show.
Because we'd be doing a lot of night shoots. So we will play it by ear. Hopefully next week we'll have Monday Night Ross again and we'll have small perks. If not, I will be back the following week, which is the go home for SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
Crazy to think, dude.
Yeah.
We only got two more left.
Really shaping up here. We got... you know, Lesnar, Orton, we got Cena Styles, we got Ziggler, Ambrose, we got Finn Rollins for the Universal,
right?
We got Sasha, Charlotte for the women's
club,
we got the Club Wyatts, probably, or
Club New Day,
Club New Day, probably,
right?
We got the Apollo versus Miz.
Oh, right.
We got potentially Roman Rusev.
That'd be interesting.
So we're that's
keep in mind matches. Keep in mind SummerSlam's like WrestleMania. They're going to do it as a 4-hour
pay-per-view. Oh yeah, it'll be a big one.
They're doing that same WrestleMania 4-hour pay-per-view, 1-hour kickoff. So a 5 hours of wrestling, which means there's plenty of room on the kickoff show for Darren Young and Titus O'Neil. I think that's the one we missed.
Yeah,
from Raw.
Yeah, because
I just remembered that.
That was a thing that happened. Yeah, it was basically a Titus heel turn.
I don't know. Was it though? Because I did actually see that, and it seemed like he was like, when he was like, "You were never great." It kind of counted him off as heelish, but then it also kind of came off as him being like, "Stop drinking Bob Backlund's Kool-Aid." So like it almost sort of came off like a friend looking out for a friend, being like, "You're getting involved with a crazy person."
I can see where you're coming, but to me, it came off like I fucking carried us when we were tagging together. Like, you are nothing. I am everything. Bow down to me.
Yeah, I mean, I could also see how you would think of
him going heel would be
something.
Fine.
I mean, it's something.
He just got humiliated by Rusev. It would at least be somewhat
in those pants too,
right?
In those pants,
in character for him to do dickish things. I don't know.
Well, that's that. So who knows, man? It's going to be an interesting SummerSlam card for sure, because we still have two more shows to set up, a couple more matches.
Yeah, dude.
It'll be
probably going to get something for the women on SmackDown. We're probably going to get something for the tags on SmackDown, maybe.
So
Daniel Bryan confirmed a new women's belt for SmackDown.
I don't think we'll see it before SummerSlam, though.
Yeah, I don't know, but he did confirm that there's a new woman's belt on a podcast.
And tag titles?
It's been rumored on the dirt sheets that there's a new tag titles belt coming to SmackDown, but nothing. Like, he straight up, because they asked him, like, "How do you feel about the Universal belt?" And he's just like, "You know, I'm fine with them making a new belt. We're doing that for the women on SmackDown." He said that. Like, so... He didn't say we're doing that for the women in tags on SmackDown, so we'll see.
Well, that'll be fun. I mean, I still think it'll happen after SummerSlam, because, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it might feel rushed.
They could, or what I was thinking, you know, because to fantasy book a little, the first SmackDown post-draft, they had that whole, like, really confusing segment where they just brought out all the women. And it seems right now that, like, everyone is kind of feuding with everyone. If they do some kind of, like, women's battle royal,
that'd be interesting. Like, maybe a genuine battle royale.
Yeah, for the women, and whoever wins walks away with the belt.
You know what I was thinking about? Speaking of that, I know that we're going to get going soon, but this is something I was really thinking about, is the fuck are they going to do with the Rumble this year?
That's a good question.
Because Rumble is one of the four.
Rumble's one of the four that I think they said that, from what I remember reading, obviously no word is ever going to come down from
card WWE subject on high.
But from what I remember reading is that, like, the big four are going to be cross-brand pay-per-views.
Right.
Whereas all of the small ones are going to be Raw or SmackDown exclusive pay-per-views.
So then the Rumble's cross-promotional.
Yeah.
So if it has Raw and SmackDown guys in it, if you win the Rumble, can you pick which one? Can you move brands if you want? Is it if you win, you go for your, like, if Kevin Owens won it, he could only go for the Raw, or if, like, Ziggler won it, could he only go for the SmackDown? That's
maybe they will have two shorter King of the Ring matches or Royal Rumbles. They also WWE trademarked King of the Ring.
Oh, so they're going to probably bring that back.
So yeah, that's pretty much guaranteed to come back if they trademark King of the Ring.
Fun.
So maybe they'll set up some kind of either two Rumbles, mm-hmm. One for each brand, or
okay. I don't know how I feel about two shorter Rumbles, because like it's 30 man right now. Except that one year was 40 man.
Yeah. But
30 man is typical. 15 man Rumble sounds shitty. Maybe you could live with 220s. And I mean, you essentially get a 40 Rumble. So which is kind of cool. But is SmackDown even deep enough to do a 20 man Rumble?
Well, maybe by January.
That's crazy. Because when you before. The part of the allure of the Royal Rumble was there's so many people on that one roster.
Now it's just like, well, who can it be?
Yeah. Like, Raw could probably fill up a 20-man Rumble fine. Between tag team members and all that. And, a couple of surprise returns or something, Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're going to get wrapping up here. About that time to get out of here. How long have we been going? Jesus, 1:15.
And you were all like, this is going to be a short episode.
I did think it was going to be a short episode.
It's you, Corey. You think you're going to talk for a short amount of time?
That hurts in more ways than you can imagine.
What hurts me the most is that you just don't recognize the truth. That you live blinded in a world where you don't think you talk for a long amount of time.
Is this shoot or work? Bro, are we getting like super real? People who've listened to an hour and 16 minute mark of our podcast are now really concerned about the state of our friendship. You gotta play some dramatic, old school melodramatic music that's like, next week on Small Podcast, will Corey and Bob still be friends? What will happen to the custody of Small Package? Find out all that and more. Oh, and real quick, one last, not shout out friend of the show, but shout out for people to listen to. I know I told you to listen to Broken Matt Hardy on Sam Roberts.
Oh.
Sam Roberts was the one I recommended to you. He just also did Talk as Jericho. So the Sam Roberts one is a little bit, he's still in character, but it's a little less in, like, uh-huh. There's moments
over the top.
There's like a couple moments where he talks like slightly candidly as Matt Hardy. But for the most part, he's Broken Matt Hardy. He just went on Talk as Jericho. And I know I told you the Sam Roberts one was surreal and really crazy. The Jericho one, he goes, quote unquote, to the Hardy compound, to the site of the Thina deletion. And the Jericho one is like batshit because it's completely work, except that Jericho at first is like, really, it sounds confused as to why he's not dropping character, mm-hmm. and tries to talk to him as just Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy shuts him down and tells him if he says Jeff Hardy's name again because he owns intellectual property, he's going to start billing Jericho. At which point Jericho becomes hostile and for the rest of the interview antagonizes Hardy by being like, is this all stemming from the fact that you're just jealous that Jeff was always more over than you? And it's like, it gets uncomfortable at a couple points because like Jericho's just like shooting on Hardy, and it's just like, do you think maybe it's because no one liked you? I've met your dad, and like, it's like, what are you talking about, Jericho? And then like, it's almost like he's starting to like get into that heel Jericho character, or that he's just super annoyed with Matt, and Matt just refuses to drop character and just like digs into the trenches, and it's, oh man, must listen to. All right, everybody,
it's Bob, time.
You ready?
It's time to say goodbye.
I fucked up. Let Bob do the singing. All right, everybody, make sure to follow us on the Twitter at Small Package PUD. That's PUD like podcast. You can follow Bob at Twitter at BOBFEKETE.
That's me.
That's Bob Fegedy. You can follow me on Twitter at CBPoindexter, CBPoindexter. Oh my God,
you don't need to stretch this out anymore.
One T. Fuck off, Bob. Fuck off. Don't take my microphone. Let me do this. Anyway. Follow us and tweet at us. Hey, we'll read it on the show if you tweet at us.
Let's do it.
We promise. All right, anyway. All right, hopefully we'll be back next week. We'll find out. Thank you for tuning in. We have been Small
Package.
Oh,